Siren FM.
And with the Lincolnshire weather from Gibraltar, it's Gabriella.
Morning. Highs of 18 degrees centigrade, lows of 12 degrees centigrade. Bright, breezy and cloudy, start bright. Sunny spells developing in the afternoon and feeling warm.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
You see, I feel that that could be the way for future broadcasting and world peace, that rather than actually having weather forecasters and weather folk in the country or in the county that they're actually talking about for the weather, get the views on the weather from a completely different country.
Specifically Gibraltar.
In fact, Gibraltar could be, but I mean, it could be an opening for Gabriella, you know, to add to her growing portfolio of work for the Gibraltar Chronicle, to be actually be weather forecaster for the world.
I think that's an opportunity.
Yeah. Take that, John Kettley.
Centre of excellence of weather, Gibraltar.
Exactly. Clearly, because you've got the rock, you've got the monkeys, or indeed Barbary apes, or actually they're macaques. Are they? I mean, I always forget which. How do we define apes?
Tailless monkeys. Barbary macaques.
Tailless monkeys. I bet, Steve, you could write a poem about tailless monkeys.
I already feel the need to write tailless monkeys down.
It's wonderful. But Hannah, as the world knows, ultimately there's one critical question we need to actually break in terms of, you know, post Article 50 being triggered, post any of the sort of materials actually there. What is the critical factor that is essential at this moment?
Is Frodo awake?
He is awake.
Frodo is awake.
It's 2 weeks in a row now.
It's unbelievable.
I know. I think it's the weather change or time change has really perked him up.
And is he actually going for the big doggy bowl of food, or is he going for the small food that you're putting out for him, or does he not care?
No, he's ate this morning, thank God, and not argued with me to have an entire kilo and a half bag. I don't know what he was thinking. He can't eat that.
Frodo, what were you thinking?
How big is Frodo?
He's a pug, so he weighs less than 10 kilos.
Nice.
Exactly.
That's an appetite.
He's trying to eat like a quarter of his body weight. I don't know how much, or like an eighth of his body weight in food.
Since you were last Midweek Drive at Steve, of course, you know, we've gone on to dachshunds on Wednesday, pugs on Thursday. If we went to Friday, I just don't know where we'd go. But, you know, it's just outrageous, really. This is the way I actually broke into it. Doggy there. I sort of emphasised the whole sort of system. I keep asking you this, Hannah, and I'm sure, is it a rabbit you've got, or is it no pet at all?
We have a rabbit called Rex.
Yes, I thought there was a rabbit that was in there somewhere. Yes. Just sort of focus on that thing. And in the court household?
We have two cats that don't live with us, officially.
Was it an amicable separation? Is it like Brexit?
It's more
Brexit
to do with rental property. So we have two cats that aren't real.
Right. So
of course, I understand now.
They don't exist except in the power of our mind.
You see them, they're a figment
and Facebook photos.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good photoshopping, that's why.
So you may well actually want to know what's happening on the programme today. Well, don't we all? But in theory, he says, whilst talking off microphone in a totally unprofessional way because he's trying to do two things at once, which is ridiculous. We have got Rosie Crust coming to join us. Yeah, real name, Steve. Genuine name. Rosie Crust, who is one of the fabulous folk at the Lincolnshire Events Centre. They live and breathe the events. And she'll be talking about Countryside Links, which takes place on the same weekend as Hannah will be shooting, together with Holly, the 48-hour film challenge. And the same weekend, incidentally, as Sci-Fi Scarborough. But that's another line entirely. Rosie should be coming in to have a few words with us. We'll also be joined by Richard Fitzwilliams, who this week, actually, Hannah, I'll give a little preview. He's going to be talking about Logan. Ooh. And Kong Skull Island.
Sounds interesting.
Also, Ian Lennox is back with us. Louis Savvy is going to be talking with us, hopefully live, en route to the place that's called Sci-Fi Weekender.
Ooh.
Liv Clark is going to return to the programme from her wonderful domicile in Cumbria, and we'll be sort of sharing her thoughts on a number of sort of key issues. We've got a focus of that in a few seconds. And the Chief Executive Officer of the Newark and Nottingham Agricultural Society, Adrian Johnston, will be looking ahead to this year's Nottingham County Show. So, you know, there's things to actually see, keep us interesting in all sorts of ways. But John Wenham, who produces our events guide, said when I came in this morning, burst through the door in his Wenham-esque way and said, "Oi, publicise this." So, you know, obviously when a former operative from Africa actually sort of provides us with those sort of words, as indeed he used to do with the quiz, Steve. Do you remember when he used to do the John Wenham legendary quiz?
I do indeed.
The two of us used to develop it in so many magical ways. And then they pulled the contract. Never mind. Anyway, John did say St. Nicholas Church, Newport, Lincoln, on the 8th of April at 7:30 p.m. is having a fundraising concert. The concert will provide a lively evening of music in aid of the brain tumour charity and also Go Mad Tanzania. I'll say that again. Go Mad Tanzania. What is Go Mad? Well, Go Mad is Make a Difference, as in an acronym. Make a difference. Tanzania has been having yearly visits from volunteers who spend a few weeks at a time in Tanzania helping the locals build schools, dig wells, and generally assist the underprivileged to have a better and more comfortable way of life. St. Nicholas Church has been interested in this for a number of years, and every penny that is raised goes to help these disadvantaged people. Tickets for this evening are at St. Nicholas Church in Newport. That's Lincoln, not Wales. Easily confused. Could easily sort of say it's Newport. Let's make our way to Cardiff. No. Tickets are £8, including refreshments during the interval, and inquiries to 07887 747762. 07887 747762. So that's St. Nicholas Church, Lincoln. There. Do you think John would be proud of me for doing that, Steve? Do you think?
I think that was beautifully delivered.
I think so. Gabrielle, what do you think? I mean, would you sort of think that was okay and acceptable in terms
of... that was good.
It's all right. We know what the weather's going to be like in Lincoln because you've already predicted it for us. Feeling warm. Highs of 18 degrees centigrade. Highs of 18 degrees centigrade. What's the weather like in Gibraltar?
One second when I get the app up.
This is nice. Yeah, she could look out the window.
Is that app called a window?
Yes.
Well, I don't know the exact degrees. Looking
very
out the window.
You could sort of say.
16 degrees. Highs of 18 degrees. Lows of 14 degrees.
Fantastic.
Cloudy at the start. Bright and sunny as it goes through the afternoon.
Wonderful. You know, I mean, she's just so good. You know, let's get that 21st century technology. Back in the day, Steve, we would have just literally looked outside and said...
Licked a finger and held it in the air.
It's cloudy. What's now, you see, she gets the app up, Frodo's fed, everything's sorted out. It's a happy day.
That's why we spent most of our life wearing a coat when we didn't need one, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes the coat-wearing people can ne'er cast a clout till May is out. Have you ever come across that
before? I haven't, no.
Really?
No.
Hannah, you must ne'er cast a clout till May is out.
No, I can't say I've heard that either.
Gabriella?
No, but
well, goodness me.
Well,
the official,
you know,
maybe it's because it's Yorkshire.
Get away with that.
But the official line is, don't cast off your coats until the end of May, because it could also, you know, turn unpleasant, really. So you wait till the end of May. Therefore, never cast a clout, as in take off any sort of extraneous jumpers, clothes, etc., until May, the month, is actually out. The month, not the Prime Minister.
Well, hopefully that'll be sooner than May.
There are certain things which clearly you may say, Steve, which we couldn't possibly comment on.
Yeah, that was just my opinion.
Exactly, so. So, Hannah, any further questions that you'd like to put to Gabriella in Gibraltar, or indeed faithful friend Frodo?
Of course. Well, recently you seem to be going to court a lot every week we talk to you. Are you still going? Is there a new case?
She's reporting, Steve. It's
all right.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
There's not criminal. She's
a journalist. No, that just made me sound as if I'm
Every week
going
you get
time off for good behaviour.
You need to get better at not getting caught.
Yeah, it's true. It's always I do say it's always the people who are worst at crime who get caught, because the ones who are good don't.
I don't like Bob Michelle.
It's been, I think, because recently I had a big fraud trial, and then now I've got court of appeal, so they're just appealing all sentences and convictions and all those joyous things. So, I'll probably be back in today for court of appeal. Seeing people, you know, not happy with their sentences, want less time.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you're providing information for the Gibraltarian Chronicle, which, you know, could well be seen as essential. or not. Gabriella, it's been fantastic as ever. And Steve, because he delivered these two questions so expertly when we finally achieved that statement last night with Arthur Weingarten, will now ask you those last two interrogatives. Go, Steve.
Gabriella, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Fantastic. And will you return to do it again?
Yes, next week, right?
Fantastic.
Yes, it could well be the sound of Frodo the pug hunting for food in Gibraltar. It could be a legal sort of aspect, or it could be simply the amazing wonderment that is Kong the Destroyer, brought to us via Henry Jackman in the beginning of Project Monarch's new opening scenario, in a movie which has already been getting thumbs up across the base, apart from Holly McGrattan. Who knows, though, whether Richard Fitzwilliams will go smiley face, happy face, unsure. I mean, Hannah, this is exciting stuff that we're going to be faced with in a few seconds.
It always is.
Always is. Richard, can you feel the excitement palpably and tangibly crossing the airwaves?
Well, you know, I can, and I'm very, very happy to say that I share it. This movie is marvellous fun, and also it's very ingenious, but I thoroughly recommend it for anyone who wants to see some fabulous monsters, because it's really imaginative. It begins with documentary footage where it establishes the period it's set in, that is the early 1970s, and it's a colourful and spectacular movie. Don't bother to see King Kong versus Godzilla. See these extraordinary monsters, whether it's the pteosaurs, whether it's the extraordinary water buffalo, or whether it could be the raptor-like skull crawlers which inhabit this extraordinary island, which for some reason has not been properly explored. In fact, 1973, an American agent, Bill Randall, hires James Conrad, played by Tom Hiddleston, no less, a tracker, to guide an expedition to Skull Island. With him is the military escort, and not necessarily an advantage, because Colonel Preston Packard, played by Samuel L. Jackson and his team, aren't very happy about losing the Vietnam War, and well, they intend to smoke out whatever's there with explosives. It's explosive developed by seismologist Houston Brooks, because he believes there's something extraordinary, perhaps a series of extraordinary things in this island. Alongside them is a photographer played by Brie Larson, whom we last saw in Room. And I'm afraid the noise and the ferocity of these enrage Kong, so, well, the helicopters, they look a pretty impressive bunch. They're not when we have an homage, the obvious homage is to the famous King Kong, they have rather a difficult reception. And when the survivors from the ravages of Kong has destroyed them all, scattered throughout the island, what do they find? What do they come upon? Who survives? Who doesn't? And what about the tribesmen on the island? And indeed, what is the real purpose of Kong, who's worshipped as a god? Is he, in fact, threatened by the ruthless, monstrous, skull-crawler reptiles? I mean, this movie is full of excitement. It's full of chills and spills. It's not a—I mean, it's a movie. The story is nonsense because, I mean, you really are that going back to any number of movies that could, it could be Creatures of the World Forgot or A Million Years BC, movies haven't moved on that much in certain respects. It helps certainly with CGI, but Brie Larson ought to be a little bit careful in appearing the way she does, perhaps. But what the hell, this is very, very good fun. It's exceptionally well shot. The monsters are fantastic, and my goodness me, you may have a surprise or two. I'm so tempted to reveal one, but I can't. Suffice it to say that it involves an extraordinarily unfortunate member of the group and a certain part of his anatomy which appears on the screen when you least expect it. Then if you go into a graveyard, which has been a burial ground for skull crawlers and the ancestors of Pong, what do you expect?
What do you inspect indeed, Richard? And I think it's fair to say a solid thumbs-up smiley face, Hannah.
Smiley face has already been noted down.
Richard, we've been joined in the studio by a young lady who last night was actually serving up on Channel 4, no less, the delights of pigeon. Pigeon which her husband had actually shot himself through the sort of sequence of, you know, well, through the home and the small holding. Well, some people say small holding, other people would say massive acreage farm, but the small holding that actually exists within the Royce family. We won't reveal anything at this particular moment in time. Suffice it to say that when they actually got the robes out and started the pagan ceremonies, I thought I was back in Kong Skull Island again.
It's very interesting that you should mention that, because I mentioned the tribesmen on Skull Island, and it's precisely the ceremonies that, well, they're linked to Kong as a god, so this is very perceptive, yes?
Absolutely. It's all very well saying, you know, you get these random souls wandering through your household saying, oh, that's quite interesting, let's have a look at that. I found some robes upstairs. I'd say, get your nose out of my personal belongings, is what I'd actually say.
Well, the tribesmen, the Iwi tribesmen in Skull Island, don't wear a very large number, have copious robes, but they certainly are worshippers, and you could say they were pagans, but then if you were threatened by skull crawlers, and I don't expect that's the case here, you too would be desperate to cling on to the sanity that is the magnificent beast. It is a very, very impressive creation, by the way, of King Kong.
And yet, strangely enough, skull crawlers is how we'd actually have described fellow contestants. We are, of course, talking about people who emerged on the Channel 4 game show, which, Hannah, you'd be pleased to know that after last night's show, when obviously we couldn't watch it live, so to speak, because it was obviously recorded several months ago, so we kind of felt, all right, I will...
But I assumed on Channel 4 that you last night were watching the end of Mutiny.
You may well have assumed that, Richard. You might be incorrect in that assumption, because I felt with Sue Rice, welcome to the show, by the way, Sue.
Hello.
it was only right that as a midweek driver makes her television debut on the Channel 4 reality TV series Come Dine With Me, then the least we had to do was to actually check it out. Wasn't that right, Hannah?
Of course.
You haven't, of course.
No.
Oh.
I think I missed the part of the show where at the beginning where you were saying about that. Yeah. I only heard a reference to Come Dine With Me later in the show didn't quite understand. I will go watch it.
It's there. It's on Channel 4. I actually sort of spent about 20 minutes just fighting with my device, that is a tablet, to actually download all the Channel 4 apps before I could actually access that. To register here, there. I was almost going to give up, but I thought, no, I'll stick with it, because it's Sue Rice who's actually sort of going to talk about this on the show tomorrow, and as Ben Lewis will attest to, I always like to do my research.
He does.
Exactly.
Was it the couples one? Was it? Just bear in mind, was it the couples one, or was it the
it's
normal?
It's the couples one.
The couples
yes.
one. Okay. Yeah.
Couples come dine.
Always
with
interesting,
me.
Isn't it? Always interesting.
Yes, there are some of them that are a bit of a car crash, but thankfully ours was very good.
Happy days, then. Happy
yeah,
days.
Well, yeah.
anyway, it's a perfect meal. It's a perfect evening. But it was all right. We'll give you a two.
Yeah.
Actually, the scores were very high. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with this particular program, Richard.
Or no, I'm not.
No.
No, it's okay.
I'm not surprised in that, but we will return to it sort of in a matter of moments with Ian Lennox, etc. But I just wanted to announce the fact that Sue Rice, who was featured in Couples Come Dine With Me with her other half, Dylan Rice, and indeed a variety of other Lincoln folk, four Lincoln folk to be precise, etc., two of whom were actually army people, and what excitements were to be had with a whole range of others. I can tell, Steve, that you're duly sort of honoured now to actually. I mean, we were talking earlier about you were working with or seeing Ed Sheeran. This is even bigger than Ed Sheeran in many ways.
Just way bigger than Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Although I did think that Sue's T-shirt with Gary Barlow's face over the thing was quite shocking and horrific.
It wasn't Gary. It was Dan.
Was it?
It was Dan Hadfield.
Yeah, well, that's it, you see.
She's a changed woman.
But meanwhile, Richard is desperately sort of saying, look, this is all very good. We've gone from Kong Skull Island, but what about Wolverine? What about Hugh Jackman? What about his demise? Spoiler alert in terms of what happens.
Yes, I think that, I mean, it is generally realised that Wolverine is hanging up his claws. I mean, we know this. Everybody knows this, so I'm not complaining about that. But directed and written by James Mangold, we have a movie that's been very, very much praised. Wolverine's final mission in 2029, mutants are on the brink of extinction. None have been born in the last quarter century, and James Logan Howlett is dying from a form of poisoning. He's old, he's weakened, he's a chauffeur in Texas, he lives with the mutant tracker Caliban, and they care for Professor Charles Xavier, played by Patrick Stewart, who also is pretty infirm, and this is set in Texas. He's approached by a nurse, Gabriella, who wants him to escort her and another 11-year-old girl, Laura, who may or may not have a very, very interesting connection with Logan, to North Dakota, to Eden. But when Gabriella is murdered by the biological company chief of security, it's called Transigen, it doesn't sound good, and it's not, because Donald Pierce is a ruthless character, and he has enforcers called the Reavers capturing Caliban, and Transigen are breeding children from mutants, but the deemed obsolete, there to be exterminated. Who could possibly save them? Well, I mean, this is unquestionably a movie which it's pacey, and it's got Hugh Jackman on top-class form. It's fascinating seeing him in Les Mis and then seeing him in this. And seeing also action scenes that everyone who knows the series, I mean, it's brutal and violent, and if you like this sort of thing, it's a colourful, spectacularly filmed, and full of action sequences, so it will not disappoint there. A lot of critics have made the point that it has character development that you don't normally find in this type of movie. Well, normally in this type of movie, you don't find, and I have to say, Kong Skull Island, you wouldn't be looking for character development. But I certainly, as we await the new Deadpool, it's often very funny. In fact, it doesn't take itself terribly seriously because the comic books actually appear in it. There are all sorts of homages. It's dramatic. It's also very violent. But I think everyone who enjoys this type of movie will find it super.
Hannah, you've seen Logan, I believe.
No, I haven't seen this one yet. No.
Was it Beauty and the Beast you went to see?
Yes, I have seen it.
Similar to Logan. Did you enjoy? Beauty and the Beast, of course, on the other hand, less swearing, less effing and jeffing in Beauty and the Beast, I would suspect.
And a little less violence.
Just a touch, but you know.
Well, there was some violence towards the end.
It's the teapot, it gets overly excited.
Well, yes, when the local yokels storm the...
But we've talked about Beauty and the Beast. Steve, first of all, let's look at Logan. Would you consider taking the family to see this exemplary example of Professor Xavier in his dying days, or is it Jean-Luc Picard?
I wouldn't take the family because my daughter's six.
Same age as Logan's daughter, and she battles with the whole thing.
I think we have to be very careful of little spoilers here. But anyway, there's no question that the cast, and it includes Richard E. Grant as Xander Rice, who's a pretty dodgy character. I thought Grant played it with great aplomb, he usually does. Stewart is excellent. It's always a pleasure to see him, although I did comment, I think, quite a while ago that in No Man's Land, where he was opposite Ian McKellen, and the superb balance that Penta has created between Hurst, a rich recluse, with rather odd minders who lives in Hampstead in a home that's an extremely impressive testament to, well, he's now got writer's block, but he was obviously a character of note, and the poet Spooner, who's played by Ian McKellen, Stewart came off worst, I thought. It wasn't the two-hander that I'd expected. McKellen was brilliant, Stewart not. But here Stewart is on extremely good form, and he was a marvellous Macbeth that I saw it some years ago. So you've got an actor who can certainly pack in the crowd as well as pack a punch.
He's the Chancellor of Huddersfield University. What's not to appreciate?
Well, I mean, that is clearly an accolade beyond anything I've mentioned.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. Obviously, he could have come to Lincoln, but no. Ben, Logan, does it float your boat?
Logan does, yeah. I think it's quite an interesting film. Whether I'd be on my hands and knees going to see it, probably not, but...
Be on your hands and knees.
In terms of, like, I don't know, think it's not going to make me run to the cinema.
All right. Well, you couldn't if you're on your hands and knees. You'd have to crawl.
Well, yeah, there's that as well.
Not being able to see it, but...
But no, it's interesting. I don't know. I don't think I'd probably... I mean, I would watch it, but at a push.
At a push.
These type of movies appeal to a certain crowd, not to others, but there's no doubt that they certainly pull in the box office. It's made
and
half
it's,
a billion.
It's worth it just for the Deadpool trailer right at the start. Because
That's extraordinary. I really wondered what I was seeing. In fact, I've never seen that in a movie before.
No, normally, they put it right at the end. Basic general routine. Don't wait for the sort of end piece at the very end. If you think, oh, it's a Marvel movie, it's got to have a final tail piece. No, it's at the beginning.
Well, okay? I would actually add that you made an important point, because don't leave Kong as soon as the credits
No.
come. You may find...
A little Easter egg.
I missed it. You may find there's more later.
Oh, there is, Richard. There is. And it's so... I mean, it's like the Monarch of the Glen after a sort of project that's there. But anyway, nothing to do with the other side of things. Sue, Logan, Kong, Skull Island. Is it just a day in the life of the Royce family household?
No, generally. Oh, these sorts of films really aren't my bag. I do admire things like the special effects in these sorts of things. They're amazing, and they take an awful lot of time and an awful lot of effort to do. And just the storyline just doesn't do it for me, I'm afraid.
Well, if the storyline isn't going to work for you, I mean, it's
don't go
well
see
worth
it.
Exactly. I ought to mention the director, Jordan LeBoyt Roberts. We should hear a bit more about him, because he can pack as much fun into a movie as Kong Skull Island. It's doing well, and word of mouth showing how entertaining it is. Let's hope we see more from
it. It's in the footsteps of the delights of, amongst others, Peter Jackson's Kong version, and, of course, the Dino De Laurentiis production, which, of course, launched Jessica Lange's career back in the day.
Yes, and nearly destroyed it.
Oh, come now, Richard.
It did, and you know very well that movie was an unqualified...
Oh.
It was... You look it up.
You got Kong above the World Trade Center.
I tell you what, the movie is a homage to. There is a forbidden zone in it. I mentioned the battleground between the skull crawlers and Kong's ancestors, and it's full of the bones of reptiles.
Yeah, exactly.
What does a forbidden zone remind you of?
And the moral of the story, Richard, is quite simply, if you're
the
on...
Planet of the Apes,
well,
right, it's safe now.
War of the Planet of the Apes, it could all...
No,
connect.
No, the first one.
Oh,
Forbidden Zone.
Exactly, that's true.
Yes.
No, I was thinking, if you're going to actually take part in Couples Come Dine With Me, then learn from Kong Skull Island. Don't go in as the Americans did, blowing the place up. It's not
yes,
good.
That is why.
It's inappropriate, and you're just going to irritate the apes. All right?
You might very well do precisely that.
You should make that world politics advice.
It's rather nice to see a movie like Kong Skull Island. Just recommend for its adventure. And also, these glorious monsters. I was particularly fond of the pteosaurs. It's quite hard to pronounce. And what they do to you if they pick you off and take you into the sky is nobody's business.
So, Hannah, Kong Skull Island and indeed Logan, will you be checking them out whilst you're actually sorting your essays out over the Easter period?
Well, obviously my essays and my education shall have to go first.
Of course.
But I might do. Logan probably more so over Kong, especially since my younger brother is a big X-Men
but
fan.
But how old is he?
He's 15.
Too young. Can't go and say it, sorry.
We might get it on DVD for it.
Well, it's legal. Sue, I suspect neither, really.
No, afraid not.
That's all right. And Steve?
I probably won't see them now, but when they come out on Sky, we'll watch them then.
Okay. other platforms are available. Let's make that quite clear.
I don't have any other platforms.
So, Hannah, last two questions for Richard, please, who managed to segue in Monster Movie. Strangely enough, I honestly thought this week he was going to do Chips. As I said, I was the sole person in the cinema who went to see Chips. I wondered why halfway through, and then I realised, this is the kind of movie version that the old sort of fandom used to engage in, what's referred to as slash fiction. Fantasies about the characters would have actually taken on board when you have John Baker and Francis Ponchiarello. And it's an interesting experience in many ways, if only for the Chips musical theme. I'm digressing, Richard.
Point you're making also about people not going to a certain films, because despite raves from some of the critics, and Robbie Collin giving it 5 stars, comparing it to A Greater Wrath of God, I'm talking about The Lost City of Z.
I was going to comment on that, Richard, but I thought no.
I can tell you they're not going, and the reason they're not going is most of the film is pretty rubbishy after a very good start, and all sorts of potential interesting story and so forth, and rave reviews, they may be subsequently a pickup, but it doesn't look likely, because word of mouth has spread the fact that the movie is pretty poor.
There you go. Amazing. We've just seen Rosie Crust has been waiting outside like a very patient young lady, and she said, Rosie, come into the studio, for goodness sakes. Sorry. Richard, it's time for Hannah to put those last two questions to you whilst we sort out a range of things here and prepare the team to go at least once in the next few moments. Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I have indeed.
And will you be joining us again next week?
I certainly look forward to it.
Countryside links. Next year I'll be there.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. Oh, I love these sort of things. My mum often took us to similar things when we were younger. And
Suffolk, I believe. Was it Suffolk?
Suffolk show we'd go to still, and then we used to go to the Tendering 100 show, and so the local ones to us we've been to through my whole life. So I do enjoy these sort of things as well. Unfortunately, I can't go to this year's links.
Oh,
she's making a film.
Yes.
it's just one of those classic scenarios in which, you know, clearly these things are sent to try us. Rosie, you're now, is this your third year with the Society, or is it your fourth year? Is it
third year.
I'm always impressed with how the teamwork operates and how sort of, you know, like a crack sort of organisation you actually have from that point of view. Is it as nice inside as it seems outside? You all get on to get well together?
We're a lovely big family up at the showground. So we all, you know, work together. We all have our own departments, but then we all work together to, you know, have the events. And not only do we have like the Lincolnshire Show, the Farming Conference, Countryside Links, we have nearly every day the showgrounds buzzing with other events and activities, you know.
You live and breathe
events. So we live and breathe events, we do indeed.
The way forward. And the web address, if people actually want to find out details, LincolnshireShowground.co.uk. Presumably that's the best place to go to purchase tickets as well. Can people get tickets on the door?
For Countryside Links, yes, people can get tickets on the door, but we do say, you know, if you're able to, go online and get them, because then you miss the queues. And last year, the queue was really big. So, you know, if you get your tickets in advance, you can just come straight through and then enjoy more hours at the event. So.
Ben Lewis, you may well sometimes say, what about the music on the programme? How does it inspire folk in all sorts of ways? Well, what we've just been listening to, Lily Was Here, nothing to do with Lily Holliman, our ace actress from, of course, California, but Dave Stewart and Candy Dulfer, which apparently influenced and inspired our next correspondent to actually take up the alto sax and acoustic guitar at the forerunner to what is the University of Lincoln. That it would be the University of Humberside. Back in the last century. It's astounding. And Liv Clark is still playing her saxophone even as we speak now. Obviously not live because she's currently sort of on about to talk about the way in which journalism empowers 21st century Britons. Isn't that right, Liv?
It is, yeah. No, that track, thank you very much for playing that track. It sent shivers down my spine. But no, it inspired me to pick up the sax. And I learned that when I was at university. It was a great way of distracting myself from lectures and things like that. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, which when she actually used to play it in the middle of the lecture, I thought, is she saying something about this? You know, her arms were quite happily going into a sort of general outline of contemporary issues in text and communication, and suddenly the saxophone starts off in the background. I think, well, what? You know, so I was saying, Liv, put it down. Yeah, put it down to one side.
I know, annihilating Hey Jude in the middle of a lecture is not a very good idea. Sounded like a squeezing cat, really.
It's when you've got the rest of the sort of people who actually start going, nah, 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 nah. And I just thought, come on, you know, it's just these days in public relations and journalism, they're much more mild-mannered in all sorts of ways, really. Although it's been said, actually, Hannah, I'm sure you'd get out the old musical spoons if needed, really.
Oh, of course, yeah. You know, good old spoons in an Alex lecture, it's a classic.
Yes, very much so. We have Rosie Crust in the studio. Rosie, we haven't given you your formalised title. I mean, we've said the genius behind Countryside Links, but that's not obviously on the officials. I mean, your line within the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society is?
Education and Development Officer.
Education and Development Officer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Hannah, of course, is a Level 2 journalism student at the University of Lincoln, whereas Ben Lewis is a Level 2 public relations undergraduate at the University of Lincoln.
Best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds in all sorts of ways, particularly when we got Liv, who's obviously done journalism, done a whole range of other factors for Sky and more. And the question that we put to her, to what extent does journalism empower 21st century Britons? Discuss. It's almost like an essay question in that sort of.
When you sent me that, I thought I was going to make a 2,000 sort of word essay and yeah. put it online for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to go that way, Liv, that's fine.
No, you're right.
Any time.
I'll spare you that. No. No, for me, Alex, journalism, I mean, obviously I started back in the late 80s, early 90s, and things are so different. You wouldn't believe unless you've sort of experienced everything. So now, for me, journalism is so immediate. Everyone is a citizen journalist. Everyone feels they've got to tell a story and be there. It's all very immediate. And for me, it's changed. It's very good for public. I think it's empowered people to be part of the news, to dig into the depths of news and find out what's fake, as Donald Trump would say, and what's real. But also, they do actually slightly manipulate the news that we see now. So it's a very interesting position to be in at the moment.
Rosie, one of the things we do, obviously, with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground for the Lincolnshire Show and Countryside Links as well, is we have various tweeters, people making social networking, etc.
Yeah.
And you obviously encourage that from that point of view. What are your views on in terms of, you know, what Liv's been talking about in terms of the way in which the news is manipulated and changed and citizen journalists and so on?
Well, I think the whole, from the showground's perspective, you know, the Twitter and the feedback, that side of it's absolutely so important to us. But then I know it can have a downside as well.
As Sue Rice was saying, you know, she does Couples Come Dine With Me, suddenly you get all kinds of trolls coming up in the whole system.
But no, it's a real positive thing to do.
Hannah?
I think the social media platform, sorry, I just gone on top of that, was a really good point. Social media platforms are great. If they're used in the right way and the communication that's sent across is, you know, sanitised and good, then I think it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that handful of people who ruin for the rest of us, that sort of then make people question, do I want to go on social media, and how safe is it, and how reliable is it? So,
your thoughts, Hannah?
Well, I agree with a lot of what's been said, and studying and journalism, social media and online have really helped. So if we want to get in contact with someone, it's often, can we find them on Facebook and send them a message?
And there is, of course, the Mojo mobile journalism.
Yes, that obviously makes things a lot easier, especially in breaking news. You can film stuff on your phone, we've done a few times, but you still have the problem, obviously, which has come out recently with Facebook and other social media. How do you tell which news story appearing on your feed is real or not. Mm. So that is the
just
problem.
The figment of your imagination.
Yeah, you're just imagining.
Nothing
every,
is real.
Are we imagining Brexit and Trump? And
oh, I wish.
Yesterday, of course, Ben, you were present at a guest session within the public relations
yes.
team where we had a couple
yes.
of fine folk from the... basic cabinet office who were actually with us. I mean, you've had a chance to sort of let those thoughts percolate about what they were saying in terms of let's get out now, let's work for this, let's nudge people in this direction and so on. What are your kind of reflections?
I think it's an interesting take. I mean, they were from a sort of a mixture of a journalism and PR background, I think, just because of communications background and perspective. But I think in general, the sort of the whole norm of PR and journalism has changed vastly over the last few years. And I think it's still changing now with obviously introduction to new technologies and new social media too. But I think, I don't know, I think it was interesting listening to them yesterday because it was quite unexpected. I didn't expect them to be so committed to obviously their social media, everything such as they were, you know, waking
working
up.
Working from 6:30 a.m. in the morning to 11 p.m. at night. Outrageous.
Yeah, being on social media. I mean, it's interesting, but I can understand from an important organisation's perspective why they do that. But I was more surprised about how much dedication, how much time they spend on it. I understand, obviously, it can change in a moment and in a heartbeat, but I think it was incredible to sort of listen about how dedicated these people were to their job.
They're civil servants, Ben.
Mm.
A breed apart. Effectively, they run the country. Liv, from your own sort of thing, what you've just been hearing from both Ben and from Hannah, and indeed Rosie, does that chime with your sort of thoughts on this whole field, or is it a case of, no, I'm going to put my mobile technology to one side and just basically unplug from the whole thing? Because many people say living in Cumbria is as good as unplugging in any way, shape or form.
It is. My broadband's down today, so that's the case in Cumbria every day. No, I mean, I think there's a good place for mobile journalism. I think it's very helpful. I mean, you look at Sky News, we used to go on The Wire, we used to look at Reuters feed to try and get a sense of what was happening, and now they go on Twitter and look what's trending, and when they trend it, that's how they found Westminster when it happened last week, because it was kicking off on Twitter. So it's very useful for that. I just think there's a little bit of regulation missing. How you regulate the internet, I don't know, is a different question altogether. But Amber Rudd stood on her own words at the weekend about that. But when I was practising, obviously we had administration and governments around what went in the paper, what went live on there, and I think that bit's missing. I don't know if anyone saw last week on the Westminster Bridge, there was a chap with a selfie stick taking his own video with people on the floor behind him, and that's what I think for me poisons the positivity of mobile journalism, by seeing that kind of behaviour.
It's bad taste.
It happened at the Alton Towers accident as well. People were filming, rather than in 999, people were filming what was going on, which I thought was a bit perverse, but...
I think we'll probably agree with you. Ben, would you like to just share with Liv your projected likely dissertation? Because I think it's quite interesting, given that Liv did it on the future of journalism in terms of a multimedia world. The internet was just a gleam in many people's eyes.
In terms of what I'm looking to do, an idea. It's a very controversial political thing.
It's all right, Liv likes controversial things.
I'm quite interested in North Korea. As a country, as a state, as a dictatorship, whatever you want to call it, and I'm looking into how they present themselves as a almost like a brand, how the Kim Jong Un sort of ideology, the Workers' Party ideology, which he works for, how they present themselves to a brand, to not just citizens but to people around the world as well.
I've always longed to actually have an acknowledgement in the dissertation which says I'd like to thank Kim Jong-un. I think it's what the world needs. You
know, interesting.
But, just don't go down the line of having the same haircut. That will be a bit not right.
No. I mean, there are...
I like that sort of cut, you know.
It's exactly...
There's a lot of bad things about the, obviously, the regime, but I think the way they try and make themselves look good, I think, is an interesting perspective, which is what I kind of want to look into a bit more, really.
You've got 30 seconds to respond.
With Putin, don't you? I think with that, you get that with Putin as well. It's always his brand. He stood there and always on a horse or fishing. He's trying to put this big macho image across. But really, behind the scenes, there's a lot of calamity going on. So it is quite interesting. So, but very good dissertation to read, that, I think.
Little did Rosie realise when she joined us earlier today that we'd be going from the Lincolnshire Show and Countryside Links via the prisoner in Port Marion,
communism,
diverse things to Putin and indeed Kim Jong Un. But there we are. It's opened the way for Hannah to put those last two questions to Liv, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
as always I have, and let's not leave it a year again.
No, well, it was. I was actually prompted, or in the old vernacular, poked by Liv, who basically said, "Hey, it's been a while. Hope all's well in your world. It'd be lovely to hear back from you." I responded immediately by saying, "Yes, all right. Are you around for a phono today?" And there we are. That's what it's all about, you see. We like to feel that our graduates still
it's
a part of the family.
Not what you know, it's who you know.
Well, it's
exactly.
It's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry of life. Real news.
Almost there, we're almost there. How wonderful, wonderful our love will be. Friends, close your eyes, close your eyes, for
about another 200 hours, Rosie, before Countryside Links kicks into action. Not that I wish to panic you, but, you know, more, maybe 240 hours. Well, there, we're almost there. And we're almost there at the 15th Newark Vintage and Tractor and Heritage Show, but we're even more almost there to the Nottinghamshire County Show, which we're going to be focusing on for a few moments, if you don't mind, Rosie, because I feel, you know,
yep.
we bond those whole things. We've obviously been spreading the word about Countryside Links.
Yeah, we support each other.
And you once said, in fact, that you think you might have seen Adrian.
Well, I was at the ASAO conference in February at Stafford, and I'm sure he was there.
The awesomeness that is, of course, the amazing Adrian Johnston. Welcome,
You're
Adrian.
You're too kind. Hi, Rosie.
Hello.
older, fatter, and uglier. Oh. But apart from that, I'm marvellous.
I mean, the way Rosie described the whole experience, it was almost as though you were kind of a chap from Take That or One Direction. Sort of
oh my goodness.
Amazing.
What a lovely girl.
We have Hannah in the studio with us as well. Hannah Brown.
Hi, Hannah.
And, of course, Ben Lewis.
Morning.
And it may well be Hannah and Ben may be able to come along, because last year, as I said when I originally sent the email across to you a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't believe we went the whole year without contacting your good self, Adrian.
No problem. No, I mean, it's been a really eventful year, to be honest, because we've not only got those two shows, but we've got the Midlands Machinery Show, and that's growing like Topsy. And this year we had 250 stands. Well, for a new agricultural machinery show in its third outing, I think that is a fantastic result, and I'm absolutely tickle pink that we can say we've got 40 agricultural machinery stands coming to the Newark and Notts County Show this May as well.
And was there a moment, Adrian, where you attempted to say, "Take that, Peterborough"? No, perhaps not.
No, not at all. Far be it from me to say Royal Smithfield.
Exactly.
Or anything like that.
Precisely. It's all good stuff there.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, as a lass from Harwich, I suspect you've never been to the Nottinghamshire County Show.
No, I have not.
And as a lad from Brighton, presumably Ben, likewise.
No.
Absolutely.
Rosie, have you crossed the county to?
I have, yes, yeah. I go to it.
Back in the day when it was the Newark
Thank
and Notts show.
Thank you, Rosie. Yeah. Well, no, you're all welcome, team. You're all welcome.
So what are we looking forward to on the 13th and 14th of May, then?
More of the you know, the great things that we normally lay on, and as you know, we've got a good basis in trade stands. We have an excellent reputation in terms, and deservedly so, in terms of our livestock classes. Heavy horses this year, you know, I think we've got 120 entries, and these are those magnificent animals that, you know, used to pull dray carts and whatnot. We've got the young farmers doing lawnmower racing in the main ring. You know, it's probably the most fun you can actually have with a lawnmower, I dare say. But our main ring act is Broke FMX, and they are a really good freestyle motocross riders for people to come and see. And then we've got things like, and at the agricultural heritage displays, you know, that's literally where you start off with somebody, say the theme is grass, they'll come in the first person with a scythe, and it will go through the ages, and we'll end up with a modern day combine harvester and commentary about how that actually, you know, has evolved through the ages. It's really, really interesting. You don't have to be you know, mad keen about the rural scene to actually come and learn something. The other thing we're doing as well as the excellent food experience this year, we've got demonstrations with local butchers and Rachel, I think Johnny Putzai is actually coming along to give some butchery demonstrations at that. We've got the Battle of Britain flight flying by with a Spitfire fly past, and of course then Mounted Pony Games and our Grand Parade of Cattle.
It's just one wonderful thing after another. And Rosie, I've actually seen a little bit of a teeny bit of competition actually for Countryside Links, because on the same day, 9th of April, at the Newark Showground Event Centre, I think they've got the East Midlands Bird Breeders Association.
Yep, that's correct. And this is actually a change of date. We didn't deliberately clash.
I'm just going to say.
Sorry. But no.
Go to both of them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, no, I mean, it's a great event. It really is good. And Phil Carcass from Wisby's the gentleman that runs that. It's a really popular show. And, you know, this is for people that...
breed birds.
Breed birds. In captivity, we're not talking about wild birds being brought in. That obviously they were wild at some stage in their lives a long time ago. But these are birds that are really tenderly and lovingly cared for by people that are passionate about their pets.
Do you know, I never realised there was an East Midlands Bird Breeders Association. In many ways, it could be complementary to the giant tortoises that we'll see at Countryside Links.
Really. Yeah.
Oh, have you got them as well? Oh, gosh, wondered where they were.
Yeah, we had them last year at Countryside Links, then they came to Show Comes to Town. So, yeah, they're very, very popular.
They certainly are, yeah. Right. Well, I mean, if you follow us on Twitter and whatnot, you'll see that they'd actually set off, and we're following them on a route all the way to the showground here. So they'll be at the county show as well in the countryside area. So, and that's in addition to ferrets and falcons and, you know, Mount Grace gun dogs and that sort of traditional rural pursuit. So that's a really great area of the show that people can come and enjoy.
In fact, I just realised the last time we connected with Adrian was when we were present at the launch of the showground exhibition centre, the revamp one, and we had a magician there who actually we subsequently sort of featured on the show a couple of times, who was doing his magical tricks and entertaining scenarios, which was about a year and a half ago, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there is always a place for things like that, and Punch and Judy and the like, you know.
It would be a dull life indeed, Adrian, if we didn't have a place for the magicians and the Punch and Judy folk.
Absolutely, I completely agree. So, I mean, but along that line, we've actually developed music quite a lot at the show this year, and we've got a really good offering all days of the show over in a dedicated music area. And people can, in fact, if they'd like to have a specific number played for them, they can actually contact us, and we'll, you know, make sure that their name is mentioned by the conductor. I think Lincolnshire NHS Hospitals band is actually one of the bands that's playing on Saturday.
And Rosie, back in the day where we actually once had Adrian Johnston and Jane Southall in the same studio, it's 1B just behind me now, when we were talking about the future of the country show, I think back in 2008, 2009 or thereabouts, who would have thought that you'd actually have a drive-in movie at the Newark Showground to look forward to?
No, we'll try anything. We really will. You know, we've got Retro Festival coming up, the Antiques Fair's on today. We've got 6 1-day and antiques fairs, as well as the 6 2-day antique fairs. So, I mean, there's actually, we counted up recently, and we've got over 750 event days happening here at Newark Showground, and that really is testament to two things: A, the location, and B, how we look after people.
And in addition to that, it has to be said, I think the complementarity between yourself in Newark and, of course, Rosie and Jane and Sally and all the fine folk at the Lincolnshire Showground. And let's face it, even I'll mention Yorkshire. Got it, really, because after all, you know, we've got to sort of work through that. The connection sort of works. It's nicely put together. I mean, Rosie, do you get a sort of sense of collaboration across this?
Yeah, I think we all work together and you know, we're there to support each other. So, yeah, it's nice to see what the people do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Sally, for example, on that, I've been running a local shows conference for about 15 years now. And Sally came along and gave a brilliant presentation this year from Lincolnshire Show to everybody about trade stands and sponsorship. And, you know, there were about 22 people there from... I apologise, there were about 45 people there from 22 different shows, and we just all sat with our mouths open at how excellent a job Sally and the team at Lincoln do. We can only really look with envy, frankly.
Let's be honest, they're pretty much like the Red Arrows of Lincoln.
Yeah, show, absolutely, of the show world. Well, that is true.
Any questions for Adrian?
Yeah, Adrian, what do you think the biggest highlight of the show will be?
I always look forward to the Spitfire flypast, to be absolutely honest with you. If they're
XRAF
actually...
chap, obviously, Adrian, you know. You can't...
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not. No.
You're RAF. You're not RAF.
I've been under an illusion. I used to be in the Royal Artillery. I was a forward air controller, and I was what's called a laser target marker operator. I was not in the Royal Air Force.
I knew there was some sort of scenario in that.
Maybe that's Sally.
But no, I mean that's always great because, you know, when you've got something going on overhead, you've got all of the buzz and activity of what's going on in the main ring. You've got, you know, people around. It's the atmosphere of the show, the combination of all of the things that are going on that really gives you, you know, that feeling of I'm really pleased I've come again this year. It's a great family day out, and you know, the weather is even going to be good this year. I've booked it, so there you go.
It's a wonderful thing, and it's newickshowgrounds.com to go to find out details with respect to that. You'll find presumably the key things there. People can purchase tickets online, no doubt, Adrian.
Tickets on the day are £15, but if they want to buy them now, then they're only £10. Under 17s are free. Parking is free. Caravanning space is available at a cost. But if people want to book now, it's
May
off
for the Nottinghamshire County Show, June for the Lincolnshire Show, July for the Yorkshire Show. There we are. Sorted,
absolutely.
Done and dusted.
Absolutely.
Finally, Rosie, from your own point of view, sort of final plug for Countryside Links, of course. People getting tickets in advance.
Yes, 9th of April. Tickets are going really well, so have a look on the Lincolnshire Show Grant website.
Third year of existence, yep. Countryside Links. Third year of existence.
Growing in, yeah.
Exactly. Hannah, last two questions for Adrian, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I always do. Thank you very much indeed. It's marvellous to be with you, and I wish everybody all the best for the forthcoming show season. TB not actually being too much of a problem, we hope.
No, watch out for the badgers. No, don't say that. Just go a different line entirely.
Hey ho.
Final question.
And will you be joining us again soon?
Yeah, I'd love to.
We should get you into the studio again.
At the show, you know, we can stand looking at the national standard show jumping and our dedicated show jumping ring and have a little chat with an ice cream or
something.
I think
we'll get that sorted.
Or possibly even a glass of Pimm's,
actually. Oh, my word. Thanks to Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams for his usual movie reviews, Ian Lennox from Tyneside, Louis Savvy on his way to Sci-Fi Weekender over in Port Marion. Thanks to Liv Clark and, of course, Adrian Johnston and Rosie. And Sue Royce and our poet Steve Court and Ben Lewis and Hannah Brown and you, dear listener. That's it. We're out of here. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
If manners make of manners, someone say he's our hero.